Whoa, 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 Tim and Jess catch up. It's getting bad. This is just bad now. But that's all right. Hey, it's Tim here. Jess is going to be on tomorrow's catch up and tomorrow's show, coincidentally. What an exciting time to be a downloading digital bastard. No, you're not a bastard. Thank you very much for listening. Was it, to be honest, a massive show today, full of interviews from people around CQ. Spoke to Benji from Survivor as well. I love me a bit of Australian Survivor. He unfortunately got kicked out, but I think he was a bit too big for his boots, so he's gone now. But the main thing that happened today, it's taken a couple of days to get to where we are. I've been writing a children's book, and I did a dramatic live reading on the show today, right at the end, and look, to be honest, I was feeling very nervous, very anxious about it because I've never written before in my life besides like what you normally do in grade six where it's like, write a story about how you feel. And I'll be like, I'm 28, I live in Perth and I've got two sons, no wife. Don't ask me how, but that's what I would write when I was that young. But I tried to be as creative and include as many pets from around central Queensland, good pets, in this story. It was called Cockle-Doodle-Doo, Lights Out in CQ. It's about a rooster that he's so annoyed because he can't fly. He's burdened by no flight that he decides to take out the sun so that nobody else can see. So that means nobody can fly. It all unfolds next. Here it is.
Here we go. Yeah. Get up out of bed. Get up. Get up with Tim and Jess. Hit CQ.
Good morning. It's Tim here on Hit CQ. 6:03. Hope wherever you are around central Queensland this morning, you're waking up with a smile on your face, potentially some toast in your hand or a spoon in your hand to have cereal. Eat breakfast. It's important. It is going to be a beautiful show today. It's not often that beautiful is a describing word for a radio program, but with what I've got lined up in store for you today is 13 out of 10. No big call. I understand that I am setting myself up for failure. But that is okay. And especially before Jess comes back tomorrow, I really want to go out on a high so that when she comes back, I can say, look, I like that you're here, but I don't need you. And that is the most important thing of all and the real meaning of Christmas, if you really think hard about it. I literally have too many guests on the show to tell you who's going to be here. The one I'm most looking forward to is Glenn Butcher after 7:30. He's got a charity boxing match on this Saturday against the mayor of Gladstone, Matt Burnett. It's all for a great cause. I spoke to Matt yesterday. He's looking forward to it. Glenn's in Parliament at the moment, so I've just got to get him when he ducks out of the Parliament room, the government's alley. I'm not sure what they call it. I need to do some research, but chatting to him after 7:30 and after 8:30. I think I have finished writing my children's book. I have included as many pets from across central Queensland that I can, because Meghan Markle's dog got a book written after it. Royal privilege is something I hate. Here's some central Queensland privilege for you. 8:30, going to be doing a live reading of a book that I've written. I apologise in advance. Coming up next, though, I love science and I love money. And someone that involves himself in both is Mr. Elon Musk. And he's going to send some folks to the moon. I'll let you know if it could be you up next.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Serial pest / entrepreneur / billionaire Elon Musk. He's definitely a polarizing figure. He is the creator of like the Tesla cars, those fancy hybrid special cars. And he's definitely someone that is unique here on this planet. He's a billionaire. And I think we're all fascinated by billionaires and what they do. And especially Elon Musk, he has announced the first person that he is going to blast into space on a private trip around the moon. And look, the group that he wants to send, it's incredible. Because the SpaceX, which is the company that Elon Musk is running, he's the CEO of that. He has named a Japanese billionaire Yusaka Maezawa as the person who is going to be on the first flight for a round trip of the moon. They're not going to be landing, but Yusaka wants to bring 6 to 8 artists, architects, designers, and other creatives with him on the journey. Now, this isn't going to happen anytime soon, but they are going to be going up in the SpaceX BFR rocket in the year 2023, so 5 years away. It's going to be the first trip to the moon in a long time. Actually, people probably aren't aware of how long it's been since 1972, which is ridiculous. And the average distance there from Earth is 382,500 kilometres, which is a bloody long way. And the reason I want to talk about this, because essentially this is the most expensive game of calling shotgun. This Japanese billionaire, Yusaku Maezawa, has essentially impressed Elon Musk so much that he has called shotgun. Now he's going to make people fight who gets the back seat, who gets the double back, or as my family once called it, who's in the mighty back. The mighty back was that sixth and seventh seat up the back that no one wanted to be in because you didn't have a door, and also you were very excluded, essentially, from the front of the car conversation. So it is interesting to see the team that Elon Musk is building. I'm not sure if you can apply, but I'm definitely going to be doing some, trying to do some noteworthy things, I guess, to get on this spaceship in 2023. I've got 5 years to save up. I mean, I could save up and buy a house. What's the point in that? I could go to space. Elon Musk, if you're listening, sign me up, son. 13, 12, 16, if you want to come with me.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.
And a big double murder trial has been dismissed in local Rockhampton courts here in central Queensland. And I'm joined by Central Queensland 9 News reporter Ali Cullen to give us all the information. Ali, it's a lot to take in at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. So basically two men, Daniel Hong and Ian Armstrong, they were on trial accused of killing Chantal Barnett and Robert Martinez in 2013. But we did hear yesterday in court that the murder charges against those men were dropped because of a lack of forensic evidence. Now, those two men did actually plead guilty to disposing of Chantal and Robert's bodies, but because of this lack of evidence, those murder charges were dropped and they walked free.
So essentially what they're saying is, yes, we got rid of the bodies, but we're not going to admit, or like it's alleged that they haven't murdered anybody because there's no evidence available.
Essentially, yeah. So basically the Crown Prosecutor said, look, you know, they have pleaded guilty to this one particular charge, but we don't have enough forensic evidence to prosecute these men on a murder charge. So because of the time that they had already spent in prison, which was about 2.5 years from when they were arrested in 2016, they walked free yesterday on that second charge of interfering with the corpse.
Now, obviously, it's a very large case, especially in the Rockhampton region and across central Queensland. It's also very confusing, but I think adding a bit of closure to the friends and family of those involved, would you say?
It actually hasn't. We spoke to Glenn Barnett, which is Chantal's father, yesterday, and the families are just absolutely distraught. It's been, you know, 5 years since both of these people went missing, and they did tell us outside court, you know, they're shocked that there'll never be closure. There's a big hole missing in their lives because obviously Chantal Barnett's body has still never been found, and that's a big part of this case is that, you know, these families just still don't have closure, which they are still seeking answers for.
Well, it would be tough to manage hearing the guilty plea for the disposing of the bodies, but not hearing a guilty plea for the actual murders. So it would be a bitter pill to swallow, I guess, in that case.
Exactly. And Justice Graham Crowe told these two men as well, saying, you know, if any of your children were taken away and their bodies were disposed of, can you imagine how you'd feel? And he really urged these men to cooperate. So these families do get closure.
Well, I'm sure you'll keep us across it as it comes through. I really appreciate your time. Ali Cullen there from Central Queensland's 9 News.
No worries. Thank you.
Make sure you are watching 9 News every night, 6 p.m. on Channel 9, and stay across hit.com.au for all the latest updates.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
The biggest trending stories across Australia, central Queensland, and from all around the globe. And if you shop at Coles, they are shaking it up at the self-service checkout with the supermarket chain to trial baskets-only service. So this is when you're at the self-serve checkout, only allowing baskets to go through, not people that have trolleys. There's a statement, I'll read a little bit of it. Assisted checkouts are a preferred choice of checkout for many customers and offer convenience and efficiency in their shopping experience. To improve this service and ease congestion in a small number of stores, we're going to accept baskets only through the assisted checkouts. Now, team members are going to be available to serve customers with trolleys in the main registers. If there is not one vacant, the store can open a register to assist customers with their shopping. Now, obviously online, getting a lot of backlash from people saying the large queues, if you've got a trolley, and the main lanes, due to the volume of shoppers with trolleys, are obviously not as available as what these people are saying from Coles. But oh, it is a tough one. I find myself in the self-service aisle. Sometimes it is a bit congested in there if there is more than maybe two or three people with trolleys. But I understand the frustration if you do have a large shop with a large family, having to line up compared to other people just whipping on through with their basket. It would be a frustrating thing to see. But that's the whole point of a trial, right? You try and see what happens. There is a full write-up on our website. Just search for hit.com.au. Let us know your feedback. What do you think? Should it be baskets only in the self-service checkout section? That's what I want to know.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Lots of local legends around central Queensland. One is joining me on the phone right now. His name is Jabe Hallam, and he's been busy over the last few weeks. This drought in Queensland is absolutely affecting so many farmers and families. And Jabe, what you've been doing and what you've recently achieved, I believe, is incredible. Just a local boy from Yeppoon. Can you tell us what's been happening, mate?
Well, over the last couple of weeks, I've been on the hunt for a slasher and a baling machine to bale my dad's back paddock. And we have finally, after probably 4 to 5 weeks of searching for one, we've finally got someone to actually come out and do it.
So essentially, you realised on this land that you and your family had that there was a lot of grass that was going unused that could be sent to places that it's absolutely necessary at the moment.
Yes, yes, that's right. I actually had got in contact with a lady from Emerald. Her name was Lynn Bartley. She does a lot of drought relief with her and her husband. I actually got in contact with her, and she's been like a bit of a backbone for me. So I've been getting in contact with her, trying to figure out how I can approach it. And she said once I had the bales, she'd organise transport and all that sort of stuff. And then it'd all go from there. So right now, as it sits, we've got 130 bales. And hopefully within the next 3 weeks, we'll have two B-double trucks come to my place, load them up and take them to where they got to go.
Mate, it is genuinely incredible what you've done. And obviously you were sitting there maybe speaking with your friends or family and thinking, like, this is hitting everyone so hard, especially, like, not even a few hours away, let alone just down the road. And what you've done, I think a lot of people, that's why so many people have sourced you out and are talking about you, mate, because what you're doing is a massive step, and I think you should be genuinely proud of what you're achieving and what the community can do when you really have an idea and put it to task.
Well, that's right. The idea all come about because, like you said, it's unused feed, and there's a lot of Aussie farmers out there that actually really do need it. When I came up with the idea, it was more of a group decision. Like, it was me come up with the idea, but then I needed all the backup from everyone that's given me the help to actually get it done. I can't really say that, I came up with the idea. I am a bit of an Aussie hero, but the other bloke is John Foxley, which was the man that actually came and did the bailing for me. He actually made it all happen. It's a lot for him to come and do that because it is a time-consuming job, like people know, and also that it does cost money. It come out of his own pocket to put the diesel in the tractor, to bring the $100,000 machine down here to do it. And it has been really good for him to actually come and do it for me. And I can't thank him enough. It's been absolutely awesome.
Well, I think it really shows that a passing thought can lead to immense change. And I think you are doing great things, Jabe. And I really appreciate your time the time I've had with you on the phone. And keep at it, mate, because you're killing it.
Thanks, Tim. Awesome.
Jabe Hallam there, making great local moves within the community.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.
Joining me on the phone now is, in my opinion, a very, very brave man. His name is Clint Kelly, Rockhampton local, coming to town this weekend. Well, revisiting home, I guess, for the Professional Bull Riders Monster Energy Tour at Brown Park. Thanks for joining us, Clint.
All good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, obviously, straight out of the bat, what you do is genuinely wild. How did you get involved in it? Did it start of like running away from family and friends and like that when you were younger and just being very good at being evasive?
Not really. I did play a bit of sport when I was younger. I'm from out west originally, a little town called Cloncurry. But now me and the family were pretty involved in rodeo and stuff like that. But wasn't really a goal to be a bullfighter when I was younger. It sort of happened by accident. But happened pretty quickly, to be honest.
Yeah, well, this is the Australian National Tour that's going on for PBR. And what's it like down on the ground watching it all going on? Because you can't plan and prepare. You can obviously know, all right, here's what I think I have to do. But every single ride would be different.
Yeah, everyone is different. It's a bit of a cliche now we use, but you can't really teach what's going to happen. You just got to sort of react to what does happen, and we've got a basic sort of set of fundamentals we try and stick to. But to let it all run smoothly, but yeah.
Now, I know you probably can't answer this question, but obviously remaining calm in these chaos situations, but I assume rodeo clowns and people that help get these bulls and make sure the riders are safe, I assume they would go to work for the Australian Secret Service because they remain calm under such immense pressure. And I know you probably can't answer that, but with what you do, do you ever stop when you're out there and think, like, what is my actual job?
Not really. Oh, it's probably a phase people go through when they're starting out a little bit, trying to work out what they're doing. But there's plenty of guidance around and people to learn off and all that sort of stuff. So I've been doing it for a few years now. So we sort of, as long as at the end of the day, as long as the cowboy gets away safe, we've done our job.
Absolutely. And it seems like you do an absolute fantastic job. You can check out Clint and all the great action at the PBR at Brown Park this Saturday. I really appreciate your time. Clint Kelly there.
All good, mate. Cheers.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on HIT.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
Joined now by a Hollywood entertainment reporter and your boy, Dean McCarthy, who was on the gold carpet at the Emmys yesterday. And Dean, you caught up with a few of the cast from Game of Thrones.
Oh my goodness, it was so cool. If you're a fan of Game of Thrones, you would have just been freaking out. I, of course, caught up with Jacob Anderson and Nathalie Emmanuel, who are just like so attractive. Everyone from the cast of Game of Thrones is so good looking. They, of course, won Best Drama at the show yesterday. We caught up with Antonia Banderas, the queer eye for the straight guy guys, the cast of This Is Us, the cast of Stranger Things. It really was an epic Emmys. But you know what? While the red carpet was fabulous, my highlight was actually during the show. Tim, if you missed it, if anyone missed it, you need to go online today. One of the winners, his name is Glenn Weiss, actually proposed to his girlfriend last night during the show. It was so cool. He won the award for best director of an event. He actually directed the Oscars telecast. Anyway, he wins. He goes up on stage, calls his girlfriend up there and proposes to her. Everyone was so excited. Chrissy Teigen was literally jumping out of her seat. It was so fabulous. This really was a great award show.
It was interesting because I did see the clip. Essentially, he was like, I'd like to bring my girlfriend on stage so I can make her my wife. And everyone lost their mind. It's not something you often see at the Emmys. So it was definitely a good show to watch. And we appreciate the time. There must be such hard work hanging out with all those celebrities, Dean. So thank you very much, mate. You're doing the dirty job for us.
It's rough. Someone's going to do it, though. Someone has to do it. Yeah. Well, you mate.
All right. Thanks, Dean. I'll chat to you tomorrow, bud.
Bye, mate.
You can check out that video and all the stories at hit.com.au. Coming up next, going to be joined on the phone by Gladstone MP, local member Glenn Butcher. He's got a charity boxing match coming up this Saturday against the mayor of Gladstone, Matt Burnett. Spoke to him yesterday, and this is Glenn's opportunity to tell us what's going on and maybe throw a bit of smack talk out there.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on HIT.
Joining me on the phone now is the brother of someone that is a regular guest on this show, and I'm glad to finally get him on the show. His name is Glenn Butcher, local MP in Gladstone, the brains of the family. Thanks for joining me, Glenn.
No problem at all.
Now, big day for you this Saturday. You've just finished a run, you were saying, before we went to air. What are you training for, mate?
So I'm taking on a local mayor in a charity boxing match.
Wow.
And, I decided I think I really need to start doing some exercise, so I started yesterday.
Oh, well, Matt was a bit worried. The mayor of Gladstone, Matt Burnett, was a bit worried because you've obviously been... Matt was a late inclusion into this fight after, I believe, your brother Wayne Butcher, police sergeant, pulled out?
Yeah, they've all pulled out, mate. They've all pulled out. There was a few we put it challenge to, and they all went running, except in there. He stood up, so now he's put his name forward. He's going to cop it.
Well, I think it is great what he is doing and what you're doing as well, because he said originally his answer was no, and then when you explained what the cause of this charity boxing match was for, yeah, he said he couldn't say yes quicker. Can you just remind everybody what's going on this Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, so there's a couple of girls in Gladstone. They're 3 years old. Both have been suffering brain cancer their whole life, and you know, a lot of people know the troubles that families and all that have when this happens, so... we're trying to have a bit of a fun bout. We've got some big boxing gloves there. We're going to have a battle at about 7 o'clock on Saturday night down at Mick Daly's boxing gym. And people come down. They can come down, have a free entry, have a barbecue and a beer, and watch the two Gladstone Titans go at it. So.
Yes. Would you class yourself both in the heavyweight category, bantamweight? Where are we lining up this Saturday?
Well, there's a few critics coming my way saying I'm too big, my reach is too long, but you know, I'm older than him, so I say that he's picking on an old man.
Now, I've seen some photos of you and Matt side by side at a few press conferences. There is definitely a height advantage in your corner, but I think it's good on you and good on Matt for getting involved in this, because obviously it really hits home to some local people here in Gladstone in central Queensland. So if people want to get involved and donate, how can they do that, Glenn?
So they can certainly, as I said, come down to Mick Daly's boxing shed, which is down in, I think it's Callow Street over at Barney Point.
That's
in
right.
The boxing shed. Or if they feel that they want to make a donation, I'm sure the Jill in my office on Phillip Street will take donations, and we'll bring it on the night and add it to the total. So there is a big bike run in the morning. So if anyone's interested, just go on Mick Daly's boxing gym Facebook site. And they can certainly get on there and donate, or get on their motorbikes and go for a run.
Now, I appreciate your time. And just before I let you get back to catching your breath after you run, I offered Matt, the mayor of Gladstone, yesterday the exact same opportunity that I'm going to offer you. Here is your one quick opportunity to throw a bit of smack talk Matt's way before the big fight this Saturday night.
I tell you what, Matt, I have a feeling there's going to be some pain. The pain's going to be on you, Matt.
Thank you very much. I'm scared. I'm intimidated. You got me. Glenn Butcher there. You can go and check it out this Saturday night down in Barney Point. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Too easy, mate. No worries at all. Tim and Jess.
Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.
Live your best life on Hit.
That's right. We want you to be living your best life, whatever it may be, whether it is going on a Kentucky tour, whether it is buying yourself a brand new whippersnipper, however you want to live your best life, that is truly up to you. And we can do that hopefully by giving you $20,000. And I've got a VIP on the phone right now. Her name is Jordan. Now, Jordan, you're a Hit VIP, correct?
Yes.
Now, from what I understand, you're a student. You've recently just got your L's and you're engaged. So $20,000 would help you definitely live your best life. Is that correct?
Yes, it would.
So what would you do with $20,000?
Oh, first of all, I would buy a car.
Buy a car. All right. That's probably going to make things easier. Yep.
Yep. And I would definitely plan the wedding that I've always wanted to plan.
Weddings are expensive, Jordan. I am not engaged, nor am I married, but I think I'm getting to that age where a lot of friends are. And it seems to be a little bit more pricey than what you think. Like, this dream wedding you think of was when you're a young kid, it turns out to be pretty expensive. So $20,000 would definitely help that out, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Well, I really appreciate that you've gone to the effort to become a VIP. It doesn't take long at all, does it?
No.
So I am happy because I can put you one step closer on the standby list to living your best life with $20,000. You're now one call away from living your best life, Jordan.
Oh, wow.
All right. Have a great morning and thanks for being Hit VIP.
You too, bye.
If you want to live your best life and get on that standby list just like Jordan, all you need to do is go to hit.com.au and become a Hit VIP right now.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Tim and Jess's pressure test.
Thanks to Heron Island.
The Great Barrier Reef on your doorstep.
The pressure test is here to really put the pressure on you and test you. That's why we named it that. And Michelle will be put under the test with that pressure. How do you normally go in pressure slash testing situations, Michelle?
Just depends on the day.
Hopefully it's your day, buddy. Are you ready to go?
Okay, let's do it.
Here we go. Your time kicks off now. What does LOL commonly mean?
Laugh out loud.
A hippo has six toes on each foot. True or false?
True.
Which chocolate treat was invented first? Hot chocolate, chocolate bars, or cake?
Hot chocolate.
Fakie, kickflip, and nose grind are terms for which sport?
I didn't catch the first bit, sorry.
Fakie, kickflip, and nose grind are terms for which sport?
Skateboarding.
In the TV show Jersey Shore, GTL means gym 10 and what?
Lips? I have no idea.
What continent is Central America part of?
Continent. America?
Emperor Zurg is the nemesis of which cartoon space ranger?
Toy Story. It will be Buzz Lightyear.
Dorothy. Oh, Michelle. Oh. Mate, I'm so sorry. You did pretty good for the ones you did answer. Laughing out loud is correct. False. Hippos have four toes on each foot. Laundry is the L in GTL, and North America is the continent that Central America is part of. That whole America's system is very confusing, so I don't blame you, buddy.
No worries. Thanks, Tim.
No worries, Michelle. If you want to have a crack, just like Michelle, playing the pressure test every single day after 8 a.m.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on HIT.
Australian Survivor still kicking on at the moment, and joining me on the phone now was the man kicked off Tribal Council last night on the show. His name is Benji. Thank you very much for joining us, Benj.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Now, obviously, you've had a bit of time to process what's going on, but for those that missed the episode, essentially, you got yourself stuck in a little bit of a tricky situation, and you thought you were probably leading the tribe in Survivor, and unfortunately, it came down to you being, could you say, blindsided on the show last night?
Yeah, I guess you could. I didn't think I was going home. I did get comfy in the Godfather's office that I had just taken. And I really thought that that vote advantage could get us across the line, but, you know, I made some miscalculations and I got sent to Jury Villa.
That's all right. Unfortunately, yes, you're right. It was a very short reign as the Godfather leading the tribe. Was it maybe 1 or 2 days that after Matt was voted out of Tribal Council?
It's all a blur. I think it was about a week or two.
Yeah.
Not too sure.
Felt like a week, but in reality, no. Now, obviously, it would be... The game's physically exhausting, Australian Survivor, but how did you cope mentally, like literally going onto the show and being taken away from all the comforts that most of us have in everyday life? What was it like on your brain? Obviously, paranoia can creep in, and obviously thoughts running through your head that probably, because you can't prepare for this type of situation, right, Benj?
You can't. You really can't. It's such a unique situation. And I think the hardest part is you mentally have to keep track of everybody on your tribe at once. You know, yeah. They could be looking for idols, they could be talking to other people, and just you can't rest because you're like, oh, where's Heath right now? Oh, where's Tegan right now? And you just, yeah, you can drive yourself crazy if you're not careful out there.
Well, speaking of an idol, you went home with an idol, and a lot of people would look at that and go, oh, why didn't you play it? I look at that as an incredible souvenir that only a few people have. So you're in a very select group of people leaving the game with an immunity idol, Benji.
I love that. You know what? That's how I now see it as well.
Is it on your wall or on the mantelpiece? I don't know if people still have mantelpieces these days.
It is on my mantelpiece in my bedroom.
Now, I know that you are a self-made man with your own business, whatever that may be, but I've always just been curious. Like, when people go on Survivor, do a lot of them have to actually quit their job? Because you don't know how long you're going to be away for. Like, the maximum is obviously the 55, 60 days, but besides that, I'm assuming a lot of people might have to leave their job.
Yeah, totally, totally. I was fortunate enough not to have to, but when I got out there, everyone's like, "Yeah, I quit my job." I'm like, "Whoa, it's crazy." But yeah, it's a big thing. But you know, it's Survivor. I would quit most things in my life for it.
Absolutely, I'm 100% on board with that. It is unfortunate that you did get kicked off Tribal Council. I know you can't say too much, but and I got this out of Sam last week when I was chatting to him. I think I got a clue that Commando Steve might be in the final three. You can bury the rumor if you want, but if there's any signal you want to drop right now that Commando Steve's in the final three, that's on you, Benji.
I will say that he... I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
That's all right, mate. I don't want to get you in trouble.
He is not.
Oh, wow. Ooh, cryptic. Thank you very much for your time, Benji, and all the best with everything.
Thank you so much, Tim. Good to chat.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.
Quick recap, if you haven't been paying attention this week, I set myself a task, my own challenge, to write a children's book about some animals, pets here in central Queensland. And there's a reason behind this challenge. It's because Meghan Markle's dog, Guy, he's a beagle. He's had a children's book written about him. It's called His Royal Dogness, Guy the Beagle. And look, I have no problem with Guy. What I do have a problem with is royal privilege. And I think that it is unfair, as much as Guy is a great dog, that he's getting a book written about him when there's so many other great pets right here in central Queensland. So I have been asking all week for people to share their stories about their pets, why they're so special to them, all different kinds of animals. And I took task at writing this children's book. And look, I need to get straight off the bat. I need to apologise. I could not fit in all the pets that was suggested. I do appreciate, though, everybody that got in touch with the show to put forward their pet. Lots of great animals here in CQ. And coming up after this next song, I'm very excited to reveal to you this children's book that I have written and I will be reading. It is called Cockle Doodle Doo, Lights Out in CQ. That's right. It is coming up next, a reading of the children's book for pets in central Queensland. Is your pet going to be on it? Find out next on Hit CQ. There's no more mucking around needed. I just need to get this over and done with. I've tried to write a children's book. It took me a lot longer than I'm proud to admit. I'm really channeling right now my Noni Hazelhurst, former play school actor, I don't know what they're called, presenter, to write a children's book about pets in CQ. Thank you to everyone who put forward their beautiful pet. I tried to fit in as many as I could. I think there's 6 or 7 in there. And the story is Cock-a-Doodle-Doo, Lights Out in CQ, and here it is. It was a beautiful morning, sun shining in the sky. Around central Queensland, a new day had arrived. Jack had just awoken, yeah. That tan and white pup. Little did he know how this day would end up. That there was a rooster up way in the hills that was plotting and planning and looking for thrills. For this red rooster was burdened with no flight. He decided to steal the sun and turn CQ into night. He hijacked the radio, the internet, and TV.
Nobody will be able to fly if they cannot see.
People screamed, they shuddered, they cried. Help! But not brave Jack, for his destiny had arrived. Jack ran into town, racing at the speed of light, to get some help for this dangerous fight. First was Lara the dog, who pretends to be a goat. Who loved to climb high and sing every note.
Come on, Jack, save the day with me. We will get a better lookout from the top of this tree.
They looked around, and what did they see? Their fish friend Gilbert, swimming out to sea.
Hey, Gilbert, Jack barked. Why are you looking so clean?
My 3-year-old washed me. He did with Mr. Sheen. But it means I can swim all through CQ's plumbing. And I'll find this rooster. He'll never know we're coming.
So he swam and he swam. But who did he find? Well, if it isn't young Sparrow having a ball of a time. Ripping and tearing the toilet paper to shreds. He took it outside to rest his weary head.
Well, you're no help.
Gilbert said with a scowl.
And then he heard Basil, who was starting to growl. Basil the Battler, now his legs may not work, but his heart's full of gold and a blue pill to help him twerk. He said he'd seen a rooster at the top of Mount Archer. So Gilbert swam back, but this time much faster. The rooster is planning to shoot down the sun! Jack knew exactly what had to be done. He raced to the top of the mountain with Lara, but the rooster had started. He was no Parmigiana. His spud gun was loaded, aimed high in the sky. So Lara said, Jack, it's time to fly. She climbed the treetop and bent a branch down. Get on, Jack, now. I'll fling you, you hound. Jack went flying high into the air. But the rooster had fired. There was no time to spare. With one swift kick, Jack sent back that spud. Now the rooster had realized what he had just done. And in his final moments, the rooster cockled his last doodle-doo. But it had all been saved thanks to Jack and his crew. Written, but not collectively owned, by Tim Bulch. That is your book, Pets of Central Queensland. Take that guy, the beagle, Meghan Markle. You're no big deal. If your pet was in it, congratulations. If not, I'm so sorry. That was already too long as it is. So I'm actually quitting the show to become a writer for serious drama because clearly children's books are now below me.
Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on Hit.